Welcome to another podcast by Every Nation Brisbane. We're so glad you can join us here today. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at enbrisbane.org. Please enjoy the following message.
Our reading this morning comes from the book of John, chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of will of flesh, not of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. For from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only God, who is at the Father's side. He has made him known.
Thank you, Easter. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, thank you so much for your word, which guides us through life. And especially as we start this year, God, we want to start this year just focused on you. And so, God, we pray that you would come and speak to us today. We want you to, we want to hear from you. We want to hear directly from your throne room. So, Lord, I'd like to move out of the way that we hear what our Father has to say to us, especially as we start this year off right, in Jesus' name. And everyone shouted, amen. So welcome. For those of you who are new here, my name is Nelly, and those of you who are joining us online, my name is Nelly. I'm the senior pastor here at Every Nation Brisbane. We have two locations. We have one here, which we're holding our service here today in Kōpiru, which is our central location, and then we have one in Logan. And for all our Logan family, we will be back in the house next week, okay? So we're really excited about that. We'll give you more details in the announcements at the close of the service, but we'll be back in the saddle out there in Logan. All right, we're in the series starting today called Abide, and we're actually doing the series with our Every Nation family across the world. And because we're one of the first nations to actually see the sun, we're actually getting a head start. So we're in the series. And then next week, we will be starting our time of prayer and fasting as we do every year. And so we're really excited about that. How many of you want to do that, or how many of you need to do it? I kind of want and kind of need to do it. Anyway, so let's get into the message for today. And the message is called The Word Became Flesh. And I wanted to start by asking this question right at the top. Do you trust people at their word? Do you trust people at their word? Some of you are like, When you are hearing from somebody that they're going to come through with a promise, how many of you instantaneously believe the moment you shake hands, although we elbow bump now, I don't know what the regulations are or what the trend is, but when you haven't come across an agreement, how many of you know without a shadow of a doubt that that will come to pass? And I see a lot of hesitation in your eyes underneath your mask. I think to take the question even deeper and further would be to ask the question, are you trustworthy? Now you're starting to mess with us, Pastor Nelly. Like, what's going on? Like, are you trustworthy? When you release something that from your mouth that you say you're going to do, can people trust your word? Can people trust that you will come through at your word? I think that's important when we address faith and when we think about what God says in his word. Like, do we trust him at his word? Now, the passage that Easter just read is a very pertinent passage in all of Scripture. The book of John, because there's four gospel books that we know of: Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And John is the disciple whom Jesus loved. It's interesting, like when he writes of himself, he says he's the disciple whom Jesus loved. I beg to ask the question: what does that say about the other disciples? He didn't kind of like them, but he loved John. But John was also, most scholars would go on to say that John was the author of 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, and also the book of Revelation. But he writes in a specific, with a specific intent, and a lot of it is revealed in this passage as he starts his letter, well, as he starts his gospel. And he starts it off this way. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, the definition around the word here for word is more than just a written word. It's a statement. We talked about this last week a little bit because I did touch on this passage a little bit last week as it pertained to Christmas and Jesus Christ being the living word. But we want to dig a little bit deeper here if we're called to know who or what this word is. The word is a statement, a speech, a word is divine utterance. It's being the expression of a thought, reasoning expressed by words. When we talk about in the beginning word, how many of you immediately go back to Genesis chapter 1 in your thought? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And how did he create them? He created them through words. And so if you study what the Old Testament, the Septuagint, which is the Greek version or interpretation of the Old Testament, you'll see that there's a similarity in the statement of the word there and the word that is used here in describing the word. So in the beginning was the word. And this use of the word here in the New Testament, it's used 330 times. Interestingly, it's the word, it's rooted in the word logos, but this word is Lego, as in the building blocks, which I find kind of interesting, meaning it's speaking, but it's speaking towards a conclusion that when the word is spoken or when the word is declared, there is a conclusion that the word, like we talked about last week, words shape things. How many of you would say that you have been shaped by words that have been said and spoken to you over years and over a period of time? Last week we talked a little bit about how it says in Proverbs 18:21 that death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it eat the fruit thereof. That we shape people by words that are stated by us and stated over us. And when those words don't necessarily line up with the word of God, how many of you know that it can be easier to believe those words above the word of God or the word of the one who we believe as followers of Jesus created us and created us in his image? Now, this passage starts with these three words, in the beginning, right? And in order to know who this Jesus is, we need to go back to the beginning. Verse 3 of that passage says, all things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. It's speaking about Jesus being there right at the start of all creation. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. God speaks his word and the universe is created. And Jesus is there. He's both with him and he is God. He's with God and he's God. That's a lot to wrap our heads around. But Jesus has been there from the beginning and he is the word. He is the living word. Now let me just break this down, because if we know as followers of Jesus that we're supposed to be in relationship with him, then the importance of knowing the word points towards a direct correlation of knowing him. Now it is possible to have a knowledge of the word without knowing him, but the reverse is not true. You cannot know Jesus deeply without knowing the word. And put it to you this way, if you know God, in order to know him, you need to know what his word is. If you don't know God, then it's obvious that you won't know his word. And sometimes we can base what we know about God by public opinion, what our social media feeds might say. But in order to know him, we need to go back to the beginning and know the author of this word. When you read your Bibles, you don't read it through the lens purely of just the 40 authors who wrote those books, those 66 books that are bound up in those in the Bibles or in your app. You read it from the perspective of the one who is the author of the word. It's divinely written, divinely inspired. You read it through the lens of God. And it's God's word written through man. And the word, verse 14, this is where we want to spend most of our time this morning. The word became flesh and dwelt among us. So not only was he there at the beginning, not only like the you know the song, you were the word at the beginning, one with God, the Lord Most High. He wasn't just there. He's in the flesh now, right? He became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, in the translation, in the English translation of what was written in Greek, it's obviously capitalized, and rightly so, because although in the Greek there's not necessarily a capitalization, but rightly so, because it's pointing towards the person who is the Word, and the Word is Jesus. You know, when you are studying English, when you write somebody's name, you always capitalize the first letter of that name. And the reason why the Word is capitalized there is because the Word is the name of Jesus. He is the Word. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Now, that you may have heard that a number of times, but I want to really dig down deep in that statement because it means it has so many repercussions for our life to understand that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Let's break this down. And the word, it speaks not only, again, going back to the first verse, it speaks of his deity, right? Because if he was with God and he is God, that means that Jesus, who became flesh, is also God. Is that ringing true for everybody in here, okay? Just want to make sure we're not getting heretical in here, because we need to understand that Jesus Christ is God. Fully God and fully man. Not 50-50, 100 and 100, right? Like the rapper, the ambassador from Cross Movement said, he's fully God, fully man, 200%. Like he's 100% God and 100% man at the same time. Can't wrap your head around it? That's because he's God. Right? And the Word, what? Became flesh. This is what trips us out, because even in this statement, the fact that the Word who created the universe, at the statement of the Word, decides at that particular moment about 2,000 years ago to become flesh and what? To dwell among us. The NLT, the New Living Translation, says that he became human. I think that speaks even more towards not just him being flesh and bone, but him actually walking like us through all the things that we go through, exposed to suffering, exposed to betrayal and hurt. He did not walk around like a robot. He has experienced all that we experience as humans. It's not just biologically entering into time and space, but it's the fact that heaven shortens the distance between us and an eternal, almighty, and pure God. He enters into our space. See, what false religion might try to teach us is that we need to do what we can to enter into his space. How many of you know that's impossible? But by his grace, the Word becomes flesh and chooses to dwell among us. He becomes flesh and he dwelt among us. He does not rule from a distance, he dwells. It's not like the Bette Midler song, for those of you who don't get what that graphic is. God is watching us from a distance. Yes, he watches from a distance, but he also walks in a closeness with us. He remains, and that's what the word means, right? The word dwells means to remain and to live in. Any of you who have had insurance in the home that you live in will know that the old word that's used for housing insurance was dwelling insurance, because you are insuring the place that you dwell in, that you live in, and then the assessment of the risk is based on how much time you spend in there, apart from all the outward effects of natural disaster and all of that sort of thing in the area that you live in. But it's also the way that you live within that space. You dwell in that space, and you must understand that God's desire is to dwell with you. It's not a matter of whether he wants to live with you. It's a matter of whether we want to live and dwell with him. That's really the question. It's easy to say that we want to dwell with him when we're around other Christians or other followers of Jesus, when we're in a space like this. But when it comes to the temptations of life and the things that pull us away, it's times that we would rather visit than dwell with the Word. But his desire is to live and to dwell among us. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. Glory is of the Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. My prayer for us today is that the glory of God will be seen in us as we walk in the fullness of his grace and truth. And I'm just going to highlight three things here about the God that we worship that is revealed in this passage that I hope that you find and discover in a deeper way about his nature. Okay, the first thing is that God, the creator of all things, desires to be near. He does not desire to be at a distance. He desires to walk alongside you, desires to be with you. And if there's anything that I want to highlight in 2022 is that you press into a place where you know that he desires to be near. The other name given to Jesus, the one who was the God who became flesh, is Emmanuel, God with us. He desires to be with you. He dwells, he remains, he makes his residence among us. I'm reminded of Psalm 113, which says, "Who is like the Lord our God, who is enthroned on high, who humbles himself to behold the things that are in heaven and in the earth?" The fact of the matter is, he's the one who creates all of these things, yet he humbles himself to behold these things. He came close enough that we are able to see his glory. And what kind of life is this? This is a life that is reflected in God's glory in a powerful, powerful way. The church father, for those of you who know about Athanasius, who was a martyr in the early church, he stated this way about this great God who desires to draw near. In his book, in his work called On the Incarnation of the Word, he says, "Even so it was with the all-holy Son of God. He, the image of the Father, came and dwelt in our midst in order that he might renew mankind made after himself and seek out his lost sheep. Even as he says in the gospel, 'I came to seek and to save that which was lost,'" quoted from Luke 19:10. What a beautiful picture of grace, that the God, the creator of the universe, desires to dwell with us, desires to wrap himself in human flesh, and even to the point of dying a cruel death in order that we may walk with him. The question is not whether he desires to dwell with us, it's a question of whether we desire to come near to him. The second aspect of this God that we are unpacking his character that is revealed in this John chapter 1 passage is that the creator not only desires to draw near, but the creator of all, he desires to be known, not just to be in proximity, but to know you. How many of you know that it's different to have a knowledge about somebody and a knowledge that is derived from an intimate relationship with somebody? If you have a deep friendship, think about the factors that come into the development of that relationship. Just take a moment. Think about the closest relationships that you have, the people that you're closest to. If those of you who are married, it better be your spouse. Not even a question, all right? If it's not your spouse, we have sessions based on marriage that we can talk about later. But like your closest relationships that you have. For those of you who are younger here, think about your friends at school or your closest pals or your friends. Maybe you have a sibling that you're really close to. Maybe you have a sibling that you don't want to be close to, but they're just annoying, but maybe you know that about them because they are so close to you, right? Some of you are laughing a little bit too loud there. It's just, he desires to be known. Now, I often give this example, and I'll give it again here. For those of you who don't know me, I'm a musician as well, and I've had a little bit of experience getting to know how to play certain instruments, especially the keyboard or piano. And there are two Greek words that describe knowledge that are most used. There's the Greek word based in a knowledge called oida, and there's a Greek word based in knowledge called gnosko, right? Oida means I know how to operate within the realm of that specific thing. So oida, it means like that would be my relationship with my keyboard over there, right? I know how to operate within the realm of oida. But gnosko is something that I have a relationship with, and it would be sickening and probably warrant an arrest of me if I gnosko my keyboard in a way that I gnosko my wife Tina, right? Some of you are laughing because that's sickening, just the thought of it. But that's the way we can often approach our knowledge of God, is we know a lot about him. We know how to operate within the realm of Christian activity, but do we really know him? He desires to be known. Well, how do we know him? Again, it's coming back to knowing him through his word, through his grace, through his truth. How we relate to him is through word and through the prayer and through worship, through congregating together and not forsaking fellowship, Hebrews 11:25, and the coming together of the saints to the day of his coming. Like, it's important. All of these things are important because they help us to develop a knowledge of him based in relationship. And the thing about the word becoming flesh is that Jesus makes God approachable. We can actually approach him if we accept the sacrifice of the word, God becoming flesh, dwelling amongst us, and then giving his life for us. Even in that statement, it should already begin to drill down on a place of appreciation of the grace that God has afforded to us to be able to approach his throne. But oh, Christian, here in Brisbane, how easy it is in Queensland to take the grace of God for granted, to not pursue a knowledge of him, and to look for the fulfillment that can only be found in a knowledge, a gnosko, intimate relationship with God. And you seek that fulfillment elsewhere. Jesus makes God accessible and approachable. We enter in through the door. Again, written by John, right? Jesus says, I am the door. He says, I am the way. I am the good shepherd. Jesus says, I am the one of whom you can know God. He is the living word. And then lastly, not only does he want to be near, not only does he want to be known, but he also desires to be received. Verse 12 of that passage that Easter read, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name. We are children of God because of Jesus. We have been adopted. And I don't know if you've been around Every Nation Brisbane for a while, you will have heard about the Roman concept of adoption is very different to the Australian concept of adoption in terms of when you are adopted in that day and age, you are often taken by those who are parents because they want to carry on their legacy. And so they approach those whom look like they can carry the legacy in a way that honors the parent. So it's less out of empathy and it's more out of, is this person strong enough? And it's usually a male. Is this person strong enough to carry my name? So when we are adopted by God through Jesus, he sees in us the value of being able to carry the name of Jesus. He says, you can carry it. So not only does he want to draw near, not only does he wants you to know him, but he wants you to have his name. He wants you to receive him. He desires to be received. So what are the obstacles? Well, think about it. For those who don't want to draw near, for those who just don't want to be, you know, don't want to receive Jesus or don't want to receive God, it's often because there are other things that pull our attention and try to fill that void or fulfill us in a way that only God can. But I draw back to the knowledge that God became flesh and dwelt among us. What is beautiful about that is that as a follower of Jesus now, I too have the Holy Spirit living inside of me, and it transforms me to want to also give my life over to the cause where it will look like I am giving my life that it may look like Jesus, having so much of the word in me that I too give my flesh to him, that I too would represent him well, that I too would be one who sees change in my sphere of influence that is shaped around the gospel because I have the word, I have the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the living God that is transforming. And so I too now become one who is flesh. I'm not God, but I have God living within me. You'll see the difference. And so when I come into an environment, my heart is to bring the gospel into that environment. And if there's one prayer that I can pray for you today, is that firstly, for those of you who are in this room that do not know Christ, that have not received him or not recognized that he desires to draw near, that you would. You would know that he desires to draw near to you. You would know that he receives you and he wants to be received by you, and that you would not reject his gospel. But also for those of us who have found the gospel to be true and have had your life transformed by God, is that we would be living testimonies, or to use the language of the epistle writer, we would become like living stones, because we have the word of God, which is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, living within us. And that we would see our spheres transformed through the gospel. The word becomes flesh and dwells among us. Can the people that are around you see the word who has become flesh living in you, that it would transform the environment around you? Can we honestly say that? I'm just going to conclude our time in the Word today just by remembering the legacy of a man of God. Bishop Desmond Tutu passed away last week. And there's a picture here of him with Nelson Mandela. When you consider his life, for those of you who are unfamiliar, this is obviously South Africa. And he was born in the 1930s and came up right in the thick of apartheid. Nelson Mandela was arrested and taken into prison, was there for 2.5 decades. But Archbishop Desmond Tutu was responsible as one who had the word living inside of him, but then at the same time as a clergyman, so as one who had a position within the church, leading the church, but wanted to see the transformation of the word becoming flesh in South Africa. And God used him as a representative of somewhat of a moral compass. He's often called the moral compass of South Africa, especially in the last half century, where he would hold accountable the governments to the point where he was partially alongside Nelson Mandela and during that time was responsible for helping to push the apartheid agenda away so that there would be a representation of the true multicultural intent that God had for the nation of South Africa. It hasn't been perfect since then. I mean, you can talk to my sister Bianca about being South African, but even then, after the time when Nelson Mandela was inaugurated into the presidency, even after that, because it hasn't been perfect, he was often one who would speak out against even the corruption within those parties that would lead after that. So, in other words, what I'm getting at is that Desmond Tutu was not just one who was like a pastor who just stayed within the four walls of the church and did nothing. When he saw what Jesus had laid his life down for, he was willing to be a voice for the voiceless in society. And because of him and his deposit, South Africa was able to see apartheid end. Does that mean South Africa is perfect? No, it doesn't. But that's what happens when you have the truth of the gospel and the living word inside of you. Does that mean we're all called to be Bishop Desmond Tutus? No, not necessarily. But you're called to be a representation of the word who became flesh in your sphere of society. And I was rereading a few of his works and articles because he was, you know, like in specific times and in my own life and journey with God, there were times when he was a real hero of mine. And I remember this quote from him. True reconciliation is never cheap, for it is based on forgiveness, which is costly. Forgiveness in turn depends on repentance, which has to be based on the acknowledgement of what was done wrong. And therefore on the disclosure of the truth, you cannot forgive what you do not know. Think about that last statement. You cannot forgive what you do not know. Even his own home and his church buildings were often burnt down, and you know, by organizations that had an agenda against his, that wanted to uphold apartheid. And he knew the price of true, authentic reconciliation. You know, the ministry of reconciliation, 2 Corinthians 5:17 and 18. But he knew that if this was the cost, then it was necessary to pay, because he recognized You cannot forgive what you do not know. He knew the price of forgiveness. Why? Because he knew that there was a price that was paid for his own forgiveness. Paid through Jesus Christ, the Word who became flesh and had his flesh literally torn apart in order that we may be made whole and we may be called to be vessels and ministers of reconciliation. Now, is that reconciliation purely racial? No, it's not just purely racial, although that's a huge part of it, but it's definitely spiritual. There are many people around you that do not have the gospel or access to the gospel, and you are the ones that are called to represent him wherever you live, wherever you are. This is our mission in 2022. It's not just to represent, yes, to represent by speaking his word and preaching the gospel where we're given the opportunity, but also to represent him in our kindness. How many of you know we live in a very divisive time? Very divisive time. Everybody has an opinion on everything. And our social media accounts act like megaphones to amplify that opinion. And it's a very hard time to live as a Christian. You know, pray for your leaders. Pray for teachers who, you know, are making the most of their holidays because the time is coming when they have to go back into not just to face the children that they get to teach, but parents who have varying opinions on this vaccine and, you know, whether we should wear masks or all this sort of stuff, and to represent Christ well. Pray for our government, whether you voted for them or not. Pray for them. Pray for pastoral leaders, not just myself, and I thank you for praying for me, but pray for people like James and Fiona and Jean and Lenny and just the people that are leading works all around the world during this very volatile time. It's not an easy time to lead and try to be ones who are flesh but carry the word. Just pray for one another. I don't know about you, but it's an easy time to say, you know what, spiritually, my calves are tired from walking on eggshells. Anybody else feel that way? We need wisdom. We need, and I've purposely preached at a volume that's this level in order to turn the noise down, not with a whole bunch of jokes, but in order that you start to look and pursue the voice of God. And sometimes to hear the voice of God, you need to turn the noise down so that you can hear the word and that you can live the word, so that the word becomes flesh even in the way that you live, because it's no longer you live, but it's Christ who lives in you. And greater is he that is in you than any Omicron that is in the world. Now, does that mean I go all, yeah, forget all this, forget all that? You know, we can have varying opinions on all of this, but one of the fruit of the Spirit, or part of the bearing the fruit of the Spirit, is kindness. You can have an opinion, but be kind. How does your opinion and voicing your opinion in the way that you carry your opinion, how does it glorify God? How does it show the word that has become flesh? So I close with this question here, and I just wanted to ask, how close are you to Jesus, the living word? How close are you? The final thought I have is this, and as I was praying for our service here this morning, I just wanted to debunk a lie of the enemy that I feel like, especially in this season, right, this pocket of just before Christmas and around the second week of January is the time that you are tested. I've been praying for you, church, the time that you're, you know, because you're on vacation, so does your faith go on vacation. There's a pattern. There's a pattern that often happens, that in these moments where, okay, we can take it a little easy, we can detract from fellowship. And as we retract from fellowship, what often happens is that the voice of the enemy begins to amplify. The more you isolate, the more you wonder about the accusations and the things that may be said about you from other people or even God towards you. The voice of the accuser can often get louder. But if you believe the word of God and soak the word of God and soak in the word of God, that word of God will drown out the voice of the enemy. My prayer is you don't believe what the enemy says about you. And you don't believe about what the enemy says about your neighbor towards you, about your what your brother or your sister says about you. Because the longer you distance yourself, or the more you distance yourself from those relationships, the more you will hear that accusation. Now you can just slightly nod if that's been a voice, just like, give me one of those. If you don't have to put your hand up. But if any of you have experienced that, I really want to encourage you today. Don't succumb to isolation. Don't succumb to forming your own opinions in your own echo chamber, in your own silo, to the point where you start forming your own theology where it's totally absent from actually walking together with others, actually not being formed by deep relationship and an understanding of the Word of God and His Spirit in prayer, apart from being a part of the oikos or the community or the family that God has called you to walk with. Don't fall victim to that. I know that walking in community can sometimes get on our nerves. Sometimes. Maybe I get on your nerves. I'm sorry, I don't mean to. But fellowship and walking in community is so necessary to nullify the voice of the enemy. Fight for fellowship. Fight to come together. Again, Hebrews 10:25, let us not forsake fellowship. Because guess what? We are a part of the body of Christ. What is the body? The body is made up of flesh. And if the word's to become flesh, guess what? It's modeled in the way we walk with one another as the body. You can't be a little toe trying to walk around Brisbane and saying, like start little toe ministries. Like, you have to be connected to the body. And so my encouragement for all of us is to understand He's drawing near to us. He desires to be with us. And he wants us. How close are you to Jesus, the living Word? So I want to pray for us this morning. And I just invite you to just enter into just a time of reflection right where you are. And if you're watching online, just take a moment just to reflect on that question. Just think about it for a moment. Maybe you've heard the voice of the enemy trying to lure you into this trap of believing what the enemy might say about you, or even just trying to say, hey, you know what, I can approach faith casually. I don't need to necessarily give my all to Jesus. But God would invite you to come close to Him today. So Lord, I just want to pray for all my brothers and sisters in this room and anybody who's watching online. Maybe we've heard the voice of the one who divides, trying to lure us away from deeper fellowship. God, our desire is to build deeper relationship with You. Lord, we recognize that You are the one who calls us to draw near to You as You draw near to us. Lord, you don't just draw near to us, but You desire to walk with us. So Father, out of this desire, we're asking God that You would call us to a place of recognizing past the noise, Your voice in our lives. Lord, in 2022, may we start this year off just by committing to abide in You. Lord, take our eyes off the storms and the waves of life, and to fix our eyes upon Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Help us today, God. I just want to pray for anybody in here who has a desire to surrender their lives over to God, or to draw near to Him, just as a sign of surrender, just right where you're sitting. In a place of worship, just lift your hands to Him. Say, God, I want to give this to You, God. I want to come closer to You. I don't want to be distracted. I don't want to hear the voice of the enemy. I want to press closer to You. If that's you, just lift your hands to Him. I want to pray specifically for you. Father, You see these people who have their hands lifted in this room. We're just asking, God, that You remove every single distraction that would try to pull us and lure us away from a deeper intimacy with You. God, our desire today is to experience the power of the Word who's become flesh, that chooses to dwell among us, Lord. We pray, Lord, not just for a holy visitation, but Lord, that you would dwell among us. Lord, 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 help us to see you living alongside us. Transform us, change us, Lord God. Pray, Lord, that you give us the grace to turn the noise of life down and to press closer to you. Lord, as we press closer to you, I just see the dissipation of anxiety and fear, Lord God. Press in towards your presence. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed today's message brought to you by Every Nation Brisbane. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at ianbrisbane.org. Thank you for listening. God bless.